I want to talk to you for a few minutes from the thought, not holding back, all right? I want to talk about David. David, I'm going to briefly summarize this. David was an amazing man, but he started as a young boy, right? He started as a young shepherd boy. And it's funny how we know of David the king. We know of David who slew Goliath. We know of David the song, the psalmist and the songster. But before David ever wrote a song for the masses to hear, before he wrote a song to, as a king, he wrote a song unto God when he was in the field. Some of you are trying to figure out how to write these amazing songs that bless the world. When you're trying to figure out how you can write a song like that, that will be the next Jaira. When will your song be the next big hit? But if you learn how to write songs for your own deliverance, that's when you'll start. Psalm 20, David said, you are my hiding place and in whom I trust, and you build songs of deliverance. So you surround me with songs of deliverance. I know you want to write songs as hits, but do you have a song that will set you free? I want to know if there anybody has ever had to sing a song for your own freedom. As a matter of fact, if there's anybody that's ever had to write a song or sing a song to deliver yourself, can you make a quick shout and say, I have a song? Say, I have a song of deliverance in my belly. I'm trying to move quick. When David, also when he was writing these songs, a lot of them came out of trouble. A lot of people think that the songs you write are songs that you only going to get placed. But the songs that David was writing was when he was either afflicted, he was running from his family. He wrote, when he was running for his son Absalom, he said, "Oh Lord, how many are they that increased against me? Many say that they are against my soul, and there's no help for my soul." But David said, "But thou, O Lord, art my shield, my glory, and you are the lifter up of my head." Now, when he messed up with Bathsheba, he said, "Lord, create in me a clean heart and renew in me a right spirit." But check this. Don't take your spirit from me. I know I messed up. I know I've fallen backwards. I know I did something you told me not to do. But Father, please don't take your spirit from me. Is there anybody that's ever had to pray and you know you've messed up real bad and you sang out of that place? And not only were you forgiven, but you came up with new grace, new favor, and new mercy because you learned how to sing your way out of trouble. So I want to talk about how David transitioned for a minute. David, like I said, he was a shepherd boy. And what's amazing to me is that David was looked over by his brothers and his father. He was overlooked by his brothers and his father. As a matter of fact, I say that because when it was time for Samuel to anoint the next king, Samuel came to the house and his father Jesse said, "Here are my sons." They were all in the house. He said, "Here's Abinadab." No, it's not him. "Here's Eliab." No, it's not him. He said, "Do you have any more sons?" And Jesse said, "Well, I got my son out in the field. He's out with the sheep." So he had already minimized him. He said, "He's out with the sheep." In other words, there's no way it could be him. I want to talk to the person who feels overlooked. You feel minimized. You feel like opportunities are being taken away from you. I want to remind you and let you know that the oil that's meant for your head can't fall on anybody else. I don't care how many people try to block your opportunity. I don't care how many people try to say, "Well, you're not good enough. You're not strong enough. You're not talented enough." What God says is yours cannot go to anybody else. If you believe that, can you open your mouth and say, "What's mine is mine"? Trying to move quickly. Nobody can block your favor and nobody can take your promise. David is anointed to be king in front of his brothers. He was anointed to be king in front of his brothers. The one who said he would never be nothing. The one that said he had to stay out in the field. Now he is anointed to be king in front of them. But check this. He was anointed to be king that day, but he didn't become king for years later. He was anointed that day, but he didn't become king for years later. Why? Because he still had to go through the process. I know many of you think that the anointing will launch you into your next, but the anointing only gives you the power, but the process gives you the pathway. You can't get there without the process. I know you're trying to get there. You feel like, I'm anointed to do this. That your anointing is not good enough because everybody's anointed. But you have to go through the process to get where God said you're going. So if you don't remember anything else, remember you cannot be excused from the process. David's process or his journey, because we call it different things. You can say it's his journey. His process starts with him serving in King Saul's court. He started serving in King Saul's court. I know serving is a bad word in this generation because we feel like we're good enough to be where the people who are in rulership and who are the rulers, we should be where they are. But let me tell you a little secret I learned. If you want to get to the next place, serve where you're going. Serve where you're going. Why? Because impartation comes to the people who are in proximity to the person that's giving it. So if you're not anywhere near the person who gives wisdom, you'll never get it. So you need to serve the people that you feel you're going to be in their place in years to come. So if you want to be a pastor, serve pastors. If you want to be a worship leader, serve worship leaders. You don't have to start at the top. How many people are willing to stay at the bottom until God exalts you? Because once he exalts you, there's no man that can take you down. I'm trying to move quick. So David is serving in King Saul's court, but he's going back and forth to his father's Jesse's house. And one day Jesse tells David to bring his brothers lunch. He tells them to bring his brothers lunch because his brothers were still fighting in Saul's army, and David was going back and forth to Jesse's house. From King Saul's court to Jesse's house. Now, this is what's crazy. David had been anointed to be king in front of his brothers, yet he's bringing them lunch. I just told y'all that sometimes you have to serve. When you're serving, there will be times you feel you're assigned a task that's beneath you. You'll be assigned to do something that you feel you're better than, that's beneath you, but this is what I learned. Do not ignore small assignments. Because your small assignment can put you in place for your biggest breakthrough. If David would never have taken his brothers that lunch, he would have never heard Goliath talking. And when he heard Goliath say, who is this guy? Who is this uncircumcised Philistine? He said, I defeated lions, I defeated bears, so I can surely defeat him. Let me tell you something else I learned. The little stuff you're going through gives you the small victories. Why do you need the small victories? Because they build you up to when you get to the next place. They say, okay, if I did that, I can do this. If I did that, I can do this. He said, I defeated the lions, I defeated the bears, now I can defeat Goliath. The small appointment set him up for the next place. We all know that David kills Goliath, and once he kills Goliath, he becomes an officer in King Saul's army. And King Saul is excited because he loves him, and he's a great warrior. But this is what happens. This is what happened. The people started cheering for David just as loud as they were cheering for Saul. And Saul started to hate David, not because of what David was doing, but because of the applause David was getting. This is what I've learned that has broken up groups, it's broken up teams. People aren't as concerned about money as they are about fame. They're not as concerned about money as they are about credit. I've had more fights about credit than I've ever had about money. But is there anybody that's willing to say, if you never say my name, if you never call me, if you never put me out in the front, I'm still going to do what God assigned me to do. Why? Because my assignment is not controlled by who calls my name. As long as he says my name. I'm trying to move quick. So Saul hates David, and then he tries to start killing him. He tried to throw a spear at him, and David ducked the spear. Then he's trying to marry his daughter, Michal. But, of course, they did get married. But the first test he gave him, he said, go try to kill 100 Philistines and bring me back their stuff. I ain't going to say what he said. He said, bring me back their stuff. And David did it. Saul was trying to set David up to kill him, but David kept living. But here's the crazy thing. David never dishonored Saul. Even in all the times that Saul was trying to kill David, David never spoke an evil word against him. If you want to be a leader, you cannot dishonor leaders. I get so nervous when I hear worship leaders talking about their pastor. How are you going to be a leader, but you're talking about the leader over you? If you believe that God has anointed you, you cannot talk about God's anointed. Because this is what I learned. Once you stop honoring, you lose favor. I'm trying to move quick. So now Saul gets killed in the battle, and we all know that David becomes king. Once David becomes king, the first thing he said was, I'm going to go get the Ark of the Covenant. I'm going to get the Ark of the Covenant. The Ark of the Covenant had been missing from Israel for 40 years. The Ark of the Covenant had been missing for 40 years. Here's the crazy thing. The Ark of the Covenant represented the glory and the presence of God. The Ark of the Covenant was, everybody knows, it was the chest that had two cherubim between it, and then the glory of God hovered above it, right? But here's what happened. The Ark of the Covenant was taken in battle 40 years prior to that, right? So then they kept going with their rituals. Israel kept doing their sacrifices. They kept doing their rituals, but the glory wasn't there. How many of us have gone to churches where you keep your rituals going, you keep doing the same thing, you dress up, you dance, you shout, but there is no glory? I don't know about you, but I refuse to be a part of gloryless encounters. If the presence of God is not there, I can't be there. You can't replace God's presence with smoke machines. You can't replace the presence of God with a light. I love the light. I love the smoke, but it does not replace the glory of God. So David says, I'm going to go get the presence of God back. I'm going to go get the Ark of the Covenant back. He goes to Abinadab's house where the Ark of the Covenant is. He goes and gets it, and they try to make it convenient. They put the Ark of the Covenant on a cart. They put it on a cart, and they start pulling it, and they say, okay, now we're going to take it to Jerusalem. They have 30,000 people with them. 30,000 people. They all shouting and singing, doing it wrong. How many know everything loud is not right? Just because you're making a lot of noise don't mean you're doing it the right way. They were taking the Ark of the Covenant, and then the oxen stumbled, and then King David's nephews, which is Ahio, tried to catch the Ark. He tried to catch it, and he fell dead. Now, here's the thing. Ahio had good intentions. Sometimes you can do the right thing with wrong intentions. Or you can do the wrong thing with right intentions. Ahio was just trying to save the Ark, but here's what you need to realize. You cannot save the glory of God. I don't care how powerful you think you are. If I hear another worship leader say, church ain't the same when I'm not there, I'm going to scream. You cannot save the presence of God. If the presence of God does not move without you, then you're doing something wrong. You're making a department dependent on your presence. We don't care about your presence. We want the presence of God. So Ahio tries to save the Ark, and he holds it, he tries to hold it up, he falls dead. Here's the second way that David messed up. Well, the first way David messed up. He didn't do his research. The Ark of the Covenant was supposed to be carried on the shoulders by Asherah poles through the loops of the Ark of the Covenant, right? But they put it on a cart because they tried to make it convenient. Sometimes carrying the glory of God is not convenient. You want to make it easy for you. You want to learn a few songs when you get to the church. You want to do the easiest songs that everybody's going to sing so you don't have no responsibility other than just open your mouth. But sometimes you got to open your mouth and pray. Sometimes you got to start fasting. You have to be in the presence of God before you get to the church and invite the presence of God there. Carrying the glory of God is not always convenient. So David, of course, he gets upset. He gets nervous because the presence of God kills Uzzah. So he said, you know what, I'm going to leave. It was Uzzah. Yes, it was Uzzah. So he leaves the Ark of the Covenant at Obed-Edom's house. Obed-Edom, of course, had the Ark of the Covenant there. Everybody there is happy because when the glory got there, everybody in the house was blessed. Why? Because where the presence of God is, the fullness of joy. And at his right hand are pleasures forevermore. So wherever the presence of God is, that's where blessings are. If you want to be blessed, get in the presence of God. If you want to be restored, get in the presence of God. You can't shout your way in. Just be submitted and be willing to be in the presence of God. David heard that the presence of God was at, and the Ark of the Covenant was blessing everybody at Obed-Edom's house. Now we're coming up on our scripture. And he says, okay, I'm going to get that back. Why? Because I want my blessing back. I'm not going to let what's meant for me bless somebody else. Is there anybody that says, I'm not going to let somebody else get blessed from what God promised me? He went to get the Ark of the Covenant back. And when he's bringing it back, this time he did it the right way. He put the Asherah poles through the Ark, through the Ark of the loops, holes in the covenant, or the Ark of the Covenant, put it on their shoulders, and they start marching it in. They start marching into Jerusalem. And what happens? David starts he has the people sacrifice along the way. And he dances along the way. If you want to see what God has for you, you're going to have to make sacrifices along the way.
That's great.
Everything is not going to come easy. You're going to have to make some sacrifices. But also, you're going to have to be able to dance till you get there. Even though you're not where God promised you you're going to be, can you dance till you get to where he said you're going to be? Is there anybody that's ever had to dance till you got to where God promised? Have you been able to dance until you got the blessing? Have you been able to dance until you got the breakthrough? Has anybody ever had to shout your way into destiny? Have you had to shout your way into freedom? As a matter of fact, can you shout now if you believe that, your deliverance is coming? David is marching and the people are dancing on the way to Jerusalem. And then all of a sudden, Michal sees them from the window. His old mean wife. She gets mad because David is praising God. Is there anybody ever had somebody get mad at you because of how you praise God? They say you too loud. They say you too rowdy. You do too much. You shout too much. You spin too much. You sing too much. You go too much. But guess what? I don't care what you say. Why? Because you weren't there when God delivered me. So David says, you know, David marches and he's shouting. All of a sudden, he dances out of his clothes. He dances out of his clothes. He's like, he's losing it. He does like we do at tribal nights. He's just jumping around and spinning and singing and doing whatever. And he gets upstairs and Michal starts giving this sarcastic treatment, said, oh, you were so distinguished today. Look at you. And he said to her, I'm going to do even more than what you saw. I'm going to be even more undignified than what you saw me. Why? Because I'm not just praising God for what just happened. He said, I'm praising God because he chose me over your father. So basically he's saying, I'm praising God now, not just for what just happened, but for everything he's done. Has anybody ever had to praise God and you've had a flashback of when God delivered you, when God brought you through, when God lifted you up, he lifted your head, and I'm going to praise God now, not just for what just happened, for every time he delivered me, for every time he healed me, for every time he restored me. Can you open your mouth and give God a praise for how he brought you through? This is what I wanted to get to, and I'm done. I think that was less than 30. So he said, I'm going to be more undignified than this. And then the Bible says, and she never had a child. The reason why there are people mad at your praise is because they're not fruitful. They've watched what you birthed. They've watched what came through you. They've watched what got delivered through you. They've watched what you've done, and they're mad because they can't do it. But as long as they talk about you, they'll never give birth. They'll never bring anything to pass. So here's my confession to you. Keep praising God and ignore the people that are talking about you. Don't hold back. Don't keep silent. Open your mouth and shout.
More music at gospeljingle.com.